friends. I'm James Gillen. I'm your host with As You Wish Talk Radio, and it's good to be back on the air again. I know I've been traveling quite a lot and been doing my best to get information out on the road, but it doesn't always work out so well, as we all know. But we have a few announcements to make on the show today. We've got we're ready to have volunteers come out and pitch in on the cleanup at Ysetti, you know, through May 1st. And you're interested in coming out to Ysetti and getting your hands dirty and doing some Skywatch afterwards, please give us an email. And Wednesday, April 13th at 5:30 p.m., Ashley continues with their weekly teleconference healing series. This week's topic is strengthening your star family connection. And again, that's April 13th at 5:30. And we open up for Skywatch the weekend of May 12th. Again, go to private invitation, ysetti.com to register. And you can find out all the information there as well. And I'll be teaching an ambassador training on Memorial Day weekend, May 27th to the 29th. And it's filling up fast, but there's a few spaces left on that one. These are amazing events, folks. The ships come in and put on every one we've done. The ships have put on quite a show. We've had ships, you know, circling around each other, powering up, doing some crazy things, unbelievable things. And the energetic contact that happens when you're in these events, it's a life-changing experience. So don't miss that. We'll be talking about who's who in the universe and how to find out your own Star Nation connections and, you know, who your main teacher and guide is. All of that is covered. And how to heal unseen negative influences. Make sure you're working with the right kind of beings out there. Because we have an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And just because you're neat doesn't mean you're benevolent. So if you want to get on in also on the deadline for the early bird registration for our ESETI 2016 conference, that's coming up. I think that's coming up April 28th is the deadline, so to get on the early bird special. But that's the July 4th weekend. We've got a great lineup of speakers, including my guest tonight, Patty Greer, is going to be one of our speakers there. So again, for any more information on all the events, just go to privateinvitationesetti.com. Again, that's privateinvitationesetti.com, and you'll get more information. And we're getting a lot of great feedback from those who listened to last week's show and took advantage of the special offer from Ted Winslow for his Solfeggio album, Frequent Album. And if you're interested, go to tedwinslow.com and use the coupon code ESETI for 30% savings. Our thanks to Ted for donating $6 of each MP3 album downloaded to our Night Vision Equipment fundraising program. So we're trying to get some new equipment here because we're just... you know, we get probably 1% of the things flying over here in the sky as far as on film. And if we had some good equipment and more time and some volunteers to help download and catalog the information, we'd have probably, you know, maybe 20 or 30% because we can't be out there all day and all night. But anyway, you know, we just need to get some new equipment so we can film these ships and get the information out there. Also, too, my fourth book is available on Lulu.com and Amazon.com, and it's Anunnaki Return, Star Nations, and the Days to Come. So it'll really clear up a lot of the information about around who the Anunnaki are, who they were in the past, and our ancient ancestors. And I'm going to do a whole show on that soon about the Australian connection because it ties into everything I've been teaching for like 30 years. It's actually written in stone in hieroglyphs and star glyphs in Australia. Imagine that, you know, so the whole history of Earth and the fact that there was a primitive man here that the off-worlders came down and manipulated, and it goes on and on. It tells the whole story. So, you know, it's in stone, and we'll go more into that later. But anyway, that's enough for the announcements. I wanted to bring Patty on the show, and she's one of the most devoted crop circle filmmakers ever. She produced 6 illuminated movies in record time after a contact experience in a UK crop circle, which she has visited more than 100 crop circles in 6 years. She deciphers the messages and explains the real science, delivering a crash course in crop circles at conferences, on radio shows, and in her films that won 6 prestigious awards. Because her films fearlessly expose the advanced data about crop circles, she's been the most hacked UFO filmmaker to date and dealt with suppression from 3 different movie distributors, and she's also about to come out with some paradigm breaking information. And boy, welcome to the club. That sounds like my bio right there. It's pretty interesting. But anyways, her most recently released film, Women of Today, is not a film to take lightly. It will inspire women around the world. Men will smile. The film focuses on a silent element of our present reality, long forgotten, rising like a phoenix. And around the world, wise women and their medicine are back. As one of the greatest underlying secrets of the human evolution, their wisdom and true magic are unmatched. Although Patty claims this was her first non-UFO movie, three of the featured women are personally involved in the Mars mission. And I'm sure that's Laura Eisenhower and a few others. But Patty Greer is the most, it was a true contactee and continues producing movies that make a difference today. I'm also pleased to announce that not only will Patty be featured speaker at the ESETI 2016 in July, we'll also be premiering her latest movie with groundbreaking crop circle information at the conference. So without any further ado, Patty, I want to bring you on the show. Are you with us?
I am, of course, listening and going, I want to meet her.
Yeah.
She sounds crazy enough to be one of us.
Yeah, exactly. I it's funny because, you know, they've been trying to get me on a couple major radio shows lately, and their whole studio crashes right before the show. And then they go, okay, we have to reschedule. I think it's funny. And one radio show, I went to go on this radio show, and he goes, congratulations, you took down six of our lines. You know, so obviously somebody doesn't want this information out there. That's pretty interesting. We'll see how it goes.
I want to go in the opposite direction. Do you remember when an extraterrestrial entity took down six radio telecommunication towers in England? It was 1977, and they spoke to the world through the English telecommunication towers, and they could not stop it.
I know they tried everything, shut it
down.
Kind
of like us. It's kind of like us.
I remember listening to that. I go, boy, that was quite interesting. And, you know, I think we're about ready to have that happen again, to be honest with you. I don't think we're too far away from that.
Well, you know, it was such an intense message, and it was one of the first times where we actually heard audio of ETs where we could record it. And, you know, I'm listening to you talking about all the contact that you have at the ranch because clearly you're in a vortex and you welcome them, and they know that that is home. But, you know, I think that even though we're going through all this hacking of the mini minds, what we're doing is being so blessed by having contact.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I wouldn't turn this down for anything. You know, people a lot of times they go, oh, you just sit up on a mountain and meditate. And I go, not really. You know,
like, nope.
I work my butt off here. I've been getting up at 7 a.m. and work till late at night, you know, painting and getting, you know, all the storm damage cleaned up here, repairing roofs and all that. But it's not just that. It's people think that, you know, this is a cakewalk, and it's not, because not only are you having the higher beings come, you're having the lower beings come. You're having aspects of our government coming at you. You have all this resistance. And then you've got, you know, people with other religious or government agendas, you know, throwing stones at you. So it's not, you know, you got to really get past any need for acceptance and approval outside of yourself and just stay focused on the mission, or you'll go nuts in this field.
Absolutely. And never forget that you were chosen and you were blessed.
Yep, I am the chosen one.
Well, we're some of the chosen ones. There's many, many. And, you know, it is about connecting with the team, because for me, you know, living in a city such as Boulder, Colorado, there's so many false prophets that you find yourself almost lonely. And I'm actually finding myself living in the woods intentionally, because the work is too important. I don't want the distraction of all these hackings and all this, which you still can't get away from. But again, you can get away from noisy, frenetic social places where there's such a mix of energy if you want to really be steadfast at getting the work done and getting it out to the world. Like you said, it takes from 7 a.m. until late at night. I don't ever stop either.
Yeah. You know, it is. There's a psychic turbulence, you know, that's in the cities you know, and in that busy lifestyle, and social consciousness just presses on you. You almost have to get out in nature just to, you know, to get clear, you know, and remember who you are. I wanted to do a little disclaimer. When I said I was a chosen one, that's a joke, because I don't want people to be blasting that over Facebook. So
right.
So the chosen ones are the ones who chose, you know, to do their, to get in touch with their soul purpose and make their own personal God connection. That's, those are the chosen ones. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I think a lot of the people that used to be in my life is a nice way to say it. Think, you know, when you meet anybody before you really realize that this whole ET phenomena is real, when you meet people, when I did in the past, I would just kind of nod politely, which is what we see now. So we have to just really choose our conversations carefully and make sure to make good use of our time. I don't know if you're as old as me, but I know that I'm really being careful with my time because I want to spend it well. And let's go into the interesting thing of this work, which for me was not something where I did any training. I had no idea how lucky I was to come in the back door of Crop Circle Research by being an experiencer and not having done any research. I saved myself all the aggravation of the funded false prophets in Crop Circle land. And what I've learned as of especially now is that there's been a lot of misinformants at the top that have been paid nicely to really keep pointing people in the other direction. And for me, because I came in with no intention of doing filming or learning any of this, I mean, it was really a subliminal thing. My experiences have been all completely filled with magic and telepathic communications that have been so clear. And what I'm doing now is completing my final, and this is a big word, final Crop Circle movie. And that's what I'll be presenting at Contact in the Desert for the first time publicly, and at your ranch for the party. Will be probably the second time the public gets a chance to see it. And I really look forward to more conscious films getting out to the world than certainly what Hollywood is pumping out and what we're seeing. And the UFO films are a disgrace, frankly.
Yeah, I have to admit, you know, you and I both have had conversations about that, about how convoluted the field of ufology is and how many shills and planned opposition and all this other nonsense going on. And, you know, I've never seen anything like it. What happens, I'll go and I'll speak at one of these major events. And it takes them 5 years to recover, I guess. And then they finally forget and invite me back again because they get so many people wanting to know what the latest is. And then they invite me back and then they get rid of me again because it, you know, and I'm just telling the truth about what's really going down and all the different dimensions and who's who. And they, I guess there's an extreme jealousy. And then there's also a lot of pressure, you know, not to get this information out. So I get blackballed and censored and. And then some few years, you know, somebody lets me slip through the cracks again. And a few years later, I get back on. You know, it's kind of interesting.
Well, I think there's enough events. You can spread yourself around that. So every 5 years at certain events will be good enough. But you're right. We're seeing a lot of the events be sponsored and funded by people that aren't very direct and on the team. And then we're probably going to see buyouts of the events by people that are definitely not on the team. So I think it's important to create the new rather than try and keep the old alive as we see everything just falling into different hands. It's not even about dealing with the muck. I think it's about stepping forward. And that's what I've done with my films. What I've been through, my family has no idea why I have any interest in doing this further. It's cost me a fortune, and I haven't really met anybody honest in the entire television or film world, but I think there's also an element called they're really not into women. Now, ufology is one thing with the old boys club, and but film is another. And again, this is a drama that doesn't interest me. I just keep editing and making movies, and I know that all of a sudden they're going to get in the right hands, and it's going to explode once the opposition stops. So what happened to me, James, that really shifted my thinking about crop circles, and I know you've been in crop circles, right?
I haven't actually been in them. I've been watching them and kind of monitoring them. But we actually had a crop circle right next door to the ranch here. And the farmer came out and he mowed it down the next morning. He thought it was Satan. And so that kind of, I never even got to walk out into that one. But I'm not even sure where it was because he just mowed everything down, you know, and there's no trace of it. I guess energetically you could find it. But
you can. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what a lot of these TV shows and movies are about, to get everybody scared so that when it really happens for you, with you and around you, you go eek and run like a little girl to the pub and start drinking. So anyway, going to the really good stuff, I was invited to speak. And so my new movie, my final crop circle movie, plus the little side note documentary, is called Crop Circle Diaries. And I thought it was going to be all these totally bizarre things that have happened to me in crop circles that I, once in a while, I'll throw down one or two when I'm doing speaking gigs. You know, it's the history and the science and the maps and the pictures, and then a few of the bizarre things that Patty Greer went through. And what I found in this movie was that it's all about the mystery, and it's all about the surprises that I've had that I didn't expect. My favorite one was when I was speaking in Michigan 2 years ago, and a man came up to me late at night and said, "Would you be willing to take a drive with me? There's somebody you need to meet." And I said, "Wow, that's interesting. Did you hear my talk today?" "No." "Have you seen my movies?" "No." "Well, then how do you know I'm going to need to meet someone?" "Well, I know you're the crop circle girl, and there's somebody you need to meet." So I kind of asked about him the next day, and they said, "Yeah, he's cool. He's with this lady, blah, blah." So the next night I took a drive with him, and I went to meet this woman at her farm in northern Michigan. I don't know if it's northern. It's Michigan. So we're having 4 hours around the table, eating cherries, talking about a variety of things. And when I went to leave at 2 a.m, I said to the man, "You've got to drive me back because I'm speaking at this event tomorrow. All these psychics and healers and tents wrapped around a lake," and I was the keynote. And so she says, "Well, let me give you one of my books." She'd written 9. And I said, "Oh, thank you. Here's one of my movies." So we did this trade and I whooped through the pages and I said, "Oh my God, there's crop circle nodes in your book. What's that about?" And she looks at the man. She said, "You didn't tell her who I was?" And he said, "Nope." So I looked at her and I said, "Go on." She said, "I was the real partner of William Levengood, the only scientist in the world that proved crop circles were real." I was like, "You're kidding." I thought that was BLT. And she said, "Oh, quite the contrary," which is going to be a very big story when people realize that what they've been told has not really been the case. So I'm completely blown away. It's 2 a.m. I'm like, I wasted 4 hours when I could have been learning the science that you guys discovered. So she said, "We have the wake for him in a month. He died a year ago. Please come back. You can stay here at the farm." So I was all over it. I thanked her. I said, "I'll absolutely be back." So the man takes me back to my hotel, and I'm walking up to the front door, and these two women are watching me. One's smoking a cigarette, 2:30 a.m, and they're laughing. And I barely knew them from earlier in the day that they were the psychics. And so I said, "What's so funny?" And she said, "The man standing next to you, he walked up with you." And I'm looking around, and she said, "Tall, silver hair, silver goatee. Do you know who he is?" And I said, "I'm sorry." She said, "Well, he has a message. Can I give it to you?" And I realized she's talking about a hologram next to me. And I said, "Okay." And she said, "He wants you to know he orchestrated this, and he's glad it worked." And I just looked at her and I said, "I'll be right back." And I ran through the parking lot, barely caught the man leaving. He backed up and I said, "What did William Levengood look like?" And he described him exactly identical. And I said, "Oh my God, he was here. And he told those ladies that he orchestrated this and he's glad it worked." And the man just smiled. And I said, "I'm sorry, I'm freaking out here." And he just smiled and he said, "I've graduated Penny's intuition courses. Nothing surprises me." I'm like, "Oh my God." Yeah. So I go to my room and I come back a month later, and the first night at the farm, I see him in hologram, walk through the door, came right up to the bed and said those words, "I did orchestrate this. I'm glad you're here." And it has been nonstop magic between Penny and I ever since, with my experiences and her wisdom. And her 9 or more books are about consciousness. So here's the scientist. And here's this wizard of psychology and consciousness. And they did 15 years together in the lab experimenting on plasma physics on plants and on humans. And they did experiment after experiment after experiment until they came up with straight out evidence and results. And the man was debunked because he proved that the seeds inside crop circles grow up to 30 to 400% more food and biofuel per seed, with up to 75% more nutrition per plant.
Wow.
And they started spreading rumors, and it worked. And all the top people in crop circle research today are still saying, oh, that scientist, and they do this little foo-foo pile of stuff that they just weren't privy to the truth. And so, not only am I doing crop circle diaries with Penny, it's just this weave of my experiences and her explanations, and then the big, long, unbelievable science that's so different than what we were told. I'm also doing another little documentary called The Real Story of William Lovingood, the Great Scientist, because completely misunderstand him, and they got away with it. But it's time for us to clean all this up and bring it right. So that's your job and mine.
Yeah. You know, I always tell people talk about the apocalypse. And I said, well, look at the definition of apocalypse. It's the great uncovering, where everything gets uncovered, you know, and people are seen for who they are and what they've done. It's really simple. And we're in it right now. And that's what I see right now. You can just sit back and watch now, because before, you know, we used to really butt our heads against this stuff and try to get it going. And now I'm just watching everything come out everywhere around me now. And, you know, a good example is the 28 pages from the 911, you know, report, which was a sham anyway. The missing pages that they wouldn't show anybody are being released. And then they talk about how everybody had Saudi passports, you know, they're Saudis, but they were CIA passports. And so the supposedly hijackers, they're all still alive and they're walking around and they're part of, and they work for the CIA. So, I mean, that's coming out. That's there's some other things in there that people should be outraged about it. But, you know, it's very clear. It's an inside job. There's a whole lot of other things, you know, the inoculations and who's behind them, and Nogalese and the doctors that are curing cancer, and then they're killing the doctors, which is bringing out the information even more. You know, it's like, it's just making it explode. But, you know, because they're using that GMAC or that GMA or whatever they call it. You know, all those things. You know, they're finding out the inoculations have that Nogalese in them, which is, you know, creating cancer. But, you know, all this stuff is being exposed right now. And I think it's an amazing time. And also, too, I think it's time. I know at the East City Conference, I'm pretty sure we have a lot more women than men. We kind of had to grab some men to put them in there, because it was almost all women in the beginning. But
I'm so glad you.
Yeah, and I've always done that. I've always supported the women, because especially in ufology, the only people I really respect, I hate to say it, in the field of ufology are the women.
Oh my God, I love you.
They get it.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, you know, I've gone to the International UFO Congress every year since they discovered my films in 2007. And I was there 2 years ago, and I got to speak about crop circles on Valentine's Day. Doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
And then I had a standing ovation, and I absolutely loved it, but they did not invite me back. So it was interesting this year. It's no longer owned by this wonderful family that's passionate about films. It's changed hands, and it's a different frequency. And this year, there were 27 speakers, only 3 women.
Yeah.
And so I said thank you to the owner for allowing 3 women to come. And I believe his response was something quite like, when they have something intelligent to say, they get invited.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Well, for me, it's like with everything. So we have to kind of choose our events carefully. We have to encourage people that don't get it, that women are important, to start including us. And there is something strangely threatening about my movie that got released last week, and The Women of Today. And that was completely off the wall. I don't make movies about women. I mean, you know, I never have. And I was at Contact in the Desert last year, 50 great speakers. You were there. I was there. Everybody was there that was, you know, top of the field. And I brought my camera gear, which for me is a haul because I've got old school, heavy, heavy stuff. And so I bring my gear and I go day after day, like I just wasn't moved to interview people. And the very last night, this young girl comes up to me and started showing me photos. And I look at her face and I said, "Oh my God, you're hybrid, aren't you?" And she said, "Yes." I was like, oh my God. And then I look over this gorgeous black woman and I said, "What do you do?" And she said, "I'm a psychic surgeon." I said, "Are you good?" She goes, "Very." And all of a sudden I went, "Oh my God, now this is different, right?"
Yeah.
So I ended up with 33 amazing women, all completely different. It was completely telepathic. Literally, I'd go to town. I would hear, "Go to the farmer's market." So I'd be walking through the farmer's market. I mean, it was funny, looking for women to invite in the film. And when the right person would walk by, it was just blatant. It was clear. And all the women were great. So I thought, wow, nice. I'm finally getting away from UFO movies. Maybe the hacking will stop. And then, of course, I decided I needed a Native American grandmother. And I was invited to speak at the Star Knowledge Conference. So I went to get a grandmother, and I interviewed five women there. Laura Eisenhower, a beautiful woman from Pakistan who knew, is building the rocket ships going to Mars that will be taking passengers. Within the next 15 years, they'll have 60 built. And she said, "We just went into our second transfiguration," with photos. So I'm thinking, oh, yeah, Patty's first non-UFO film. And then, of course, Tanya Maddenford, who filmed Packing for Mars. And then Barbara Lamb and then Patty Greer. So I went, well, okay, I just won't advertise it as a UFO movie.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, I think people are just as threatened by empowered women as anything else, even more so. And that's the energy that's coming in right now. It's the divine feminine. And, you know, I was meditating once and Mary appears here quite a bit, and we've got photographs of her. And if it wasn't for Mary, I'd be dead right now. I wouldn't even be here. She saved my life when I was a kid. But that's another story I won't go into. It's too much time. But anyway, it was funny because she showed me this image of her with a bat, you know. It was like Mary with a bat, and it was kind of humorous, you know. It was like, and then I kept receiving this message that is that the divine feminine was coming in, you know, with a bat. It was like, no more messing around. It's like, we're gonna, you know, stop the nonsense, stop this old patriarchal war program and all the other stuff. And so, you know, I go, wow, let's do it. You know, it sounds good to me. But
that's fascinating. I really feel that. I feel like the women are having to not only be acupuncture points, and when I say women, I also mean balanced men such as yourself and the great men. And in the movie, there are fortunately a few happily married women that do make sure to point that out, that it's not just women, that's for sure. It's about all of us that are willing to be in our divine balance.
Exactly. And I, you know, it's funny because I've seen a lot of men that have dropped that old rooster program, you know, and the competition program and all that stuff. And it's really fun to hang out, you know, and, you know, speak from the heart and do things like that. But, you know, when I get into that other element, like I, you know, I did run into a lot of that in Australia, combination of both. But at the events in Australia, everybody was really open and supportive and loving. But, you know, when you get in the outback and some of these other areas, you got some pretty rough, you know, characters over there that aren't in touch with their feminine side or not very balanced. So it's kind of interesting watching that. I'm going, boy, I wonder how these guys are going to get through this shift happening.
Well, let's talk about the science, can we? Because I'd like to delight your audience with maybe some things that they don't know and get them excited to see the movie, because I think this is definitely going to change the conversation about crop circles, because it certainly took my breath away. And I came to the farm to go to the wake. I thought I would be there the weekend. I stayed 3 weeks. And every morning at breakfast, until like the last couple days, I would literally hold my head in my hands with my elbows on my knees, drinking my coffee and say, okay, I'm ready, start again. And she'd laugh at me like, Patty, come on, you've got to be getting it. And I'd go, no, seriously, you're hurting my head. You're blowing my mind. I'm ready. I'm holding it. Let's go. It was really shocking. So here we are with all this money, you know, Elon Musk and Hawkins and his new Yuri guy that are spending billions, you know, like way out there in the sky. And meanwhile, you were saying in Australia, they found new petroglyphs. Well, etched into the rock. Well, hello, we've had crop circles etched into the land for hundreds of years that we know of, and certainly a lot of them in the last 40 years. Very, very consistent and blatant patterns that are readable, decipherable, and some of them are so consistently giving us information that you'd have to be deaf, dumb, and blind, or just believe that Doug and Dave made them all and go back to sleep. But, you know, even if Doug and Dave made them all, you got to figure two old guys with boards and ropes and a bottle of beer, really, if they did two that England at night, one in Italy, one in Holland, and two in France, they got to be traveling at the speed of light anyway. So it's not like they're just Doug and Dave, but Super Doug and Super Dave.
Well, so, I like frequent flyer miles, but actually, they kept pushing that story, and one of them was dead, you know?
Right.
And I just go, you know, one of them's been dead for a while, and they go, oh, yeah? You know, they didn't even realize that.
Right. So the distraction, again, is to go away from the science and away from the magic and spend all the money way up there trying to teach them how to learn our communication skills rather than take a breath and realize that we're already being communicated with. So with all the scientific research that Levengood and Penny did, and again, we're going to ignore all of the Dr. Levengood talk that was just complete rumor and BS. When you see the documentary, The Real Levengood Story, you'll realize that he had done all the education to be a doctor, but they had used that term of he was a fake because he pretended he was a doctor, and that's how they stopped getting people to listen to the fact that he mastered plasma science and related it to crop circles. So what they discovered after constant testing in and out of the fields was that crop circles are coming out of the earth. They're not coming out of the sky.
So I've got a question. Now, I was aware of that, but there's a question I have. When they show those little balls of light flying around and the crop circles just appear, it's almost like it's like the light spheres are somehow involved in that process.
Absolutely. So here we go. So crop circles are coming out of the earth in counter-rotating vortices. One's going clockwise, the other's going counterclockwise, and they're coming out of the earth usually in pairs, and 90%+ of them are coming through an aquifer of water. So water is definitely an element. And the other, not coincidence, is that a high 90 percentile of crop circles are sitting on a ley line, which is a line between two sacred sites. So when we map out all the documented crop circles in the world, we find that there's a very clear epicenter in Wiltshire, England, southern England, between the Avebury Stone Circle and Stonehenge and Glastonbury. And then when we look at a map of the major ley lines, the major ley lines of southern England, we find that most of the crop circles are sitting on the Michael and Mary lines in this area of southern England. So year after year, if you want to see crop circles, the place to go is Wiltshire, England. And they've got B&Bs that are right in the area. And I've shared a B&B with Barbara Lamb a few years. We usually get together for 3 days, share a room, go circling together, and then she does her tours. And then I start filming. So we woke up one morning at a B&B, and the lady was pouring our clotted cream into our coffee. And she said, oh, by the way, there's a new crop circle right across the street. And I don't know if Barbara threw the coffee, but we were out that door faster than the woman could see us. And we get to this fence, and it was like, how do we get over it? And I'm looking, and somehow Barbara Lamb, even older than me, was over the fence and in the field. I was like, how did she even do that? Now, I've been more than 100 crop circles. I asked Barbara, how many have you been? And she said, more than 2,000.
Wow.
Yeah, Barbara Lamb is something else. Okay, so here we are. We've got counter-rotating little tornadoes of spinning plasma is mm-hmm. what this is. So you got spinning plasma coming out of the earth, typically through water, typically on a ley line, and these messages have been decided before they come out of the earth. Now, some of them are just messages from the mother. Many of them are messages from the mother and extraterrestrial frequencies. Many of them are coming from the earth and blended with human consciousness, such as I'm at the QEG group, the quantum energy generator, free energy people in a crop circle in Dorset. I was filming Sasha Stone. I had a crew and a drone. I was so excited. And I walk in this crop circle, and I'm highly sensitive. I can walk in 10 feet before I get there. The hair stands up on my arm, chills, goosebumps. I know we're close. Mm-hmm. I had nothing in this crop circle. The photo from the air was unbelievably cool, but I had no buzz. And I was like, oh, no, I've got all this gear and these people and Sasha and it's a human-made crop circle. So here I am with my past awareness of crop circles, not what I know now. And we get to the back of the crop circle. The camera's rolling. Sasha and I are going, unfortunately, it feels human-made. On the other hand, we've got sacred sites left and right, and we're sitting over an aquifer. So it's all the right elements, but... And then I look at these five women sitting there, and I said, what do you think of this crop circle? And the woman with her hands on her hips say... We were sitting in the Avery Stone Circle yesterday designing with our tech team. There were 12 of us doing a meditation asking for a crop circle as confirmation that we were on the right track. She holds up a photo of her device, and she holds up a photo from the air of the crop circle, and it was identical. I mean, wow. it was not identical, but certainly representative. So what uh-huh. we have here is the human element of human consciousness sitting on the earth praying. And so that was actually a real crop circle. Now, in the past, I might have had a hard time wrapping my head around humans helping, but we are part of this.
So yeah, I think that is the problem, is the human's been the missing element in all of this stuff, and so we have to get back in the game here.
Well, I think the Earth, for my thinking, was a missing element. So what we have is we've got these three possibilities, always coming out of the Earth in counter-rotating vortices, sometimes with human consciousness, sometimes with ETs, and whoever is involved in this particular formation, those frequencies are brought to this field. So it's been pre-decided by, let's say, the Earth and the QEG team that they're going to create this crop circle. So they do this meditation, the Earth is listening, and the next day, it happens. How does this happen? Well, plasma is conscious. And plasma communicates. So here we have these spinning vortices coming out of the earth. They predetermine that they're going to lay down this field with human consciousness. So the balls are spinning, counter-rotating vortices. And then the human element comes in and it spins up even higher frequency. When the frequency is exact, it spins into this really high-pitched frequency, which then appears as a ball of light at the base of the vortex. And that's what those of us in the fields are filming and seeing as balls of light is actually the base of spinning plasma in these double rotating vortices. Mind-boggling. Yeah. So what I found in supposedly the only footage of balls of light laying down a crop circle in seconds, I found a communication between those balls of light. And I'm really surprised nobody has acknowledged my thing. I put it in my first movie, The Wake Up Call, dash, anybody listening? Question mark. And I think today that's still my question. It's like crop circles are everywhere, but nobody's listening. That's the problem. And nobody noticed. And to me, it was like this huge discovery. So I stuck it in movie 4. Crop Circle Update, The Wake Up Call. It won Best Film, Best Music at the International UFO Conference. It won 6 awards. I mean, everybody loved it. And still, none of the researchers in Crop Circle land said, wow, Patty, thanks for finding the communication. No big deal. I'm not in here to have my shoulder padded, or certainly obviously not for money. So here I am about 3-4 months ago. I'm at an event. I'm speaker. A man walks up to me and says, I have the original Oliver's Castle footage where the two balls of light lay the crop circle down, and I'm going to give it to you. So, oh my God, now the new movie has the communication that I found in a later version, and then I get this original version, which, oh my God, wait till you see it. It's so different. And I freeze frame to show elements of what really happened at Oliver's Castle. And I'm still seeing today on Facebook well-known people with lots of credentials. Quack, 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 quack on Levengood the Scientist. And quack, quack, I proved that was fake years ago. And, you know, I find myself just bowing out of the conversation. I don't have time for this. I just want to bring what I think I know. And I'm never going to say I'm Patty Greer and I'm right. I'm just going to say I'm doing my best. I'm bringing what I find is true. And the fact that Levengood came out from the dead and grabbed me and introduced me to his partner, I don't take that lightly. I don't take it lightly at all.
Yeah, you can't. You got to do something with that. I always tell people, thank you for your open display of ignorance and establishing your character. Have a nice day. And that usually works out really well.
Wow. Yeah. I think my line used to be, your perception of me is really none of my business.
Yeah. That's a good
but
one.
But what we want to do is say, let's have a better perception together. And I'm trying to be teamy, but So
good
staying with
that.
The science, right? Good luck. Staying with the science and the magic. For me, I think that what's important is not that they're suppressing crop circles because we have so much hard factual physical evidence, but the fact of why crop circles could possibly be important. And the fact that they produce more food with a higher nutritional content is a very, very important facet of, needless to say, moving forward on the planet. So they did create germination chambers where they started to re-access this plasma frequency, and they tried to reproduce it, and they found that they actually could reproduce the plasma energy happening in crop circles and make seeds a whole lot stronger, where they would resist no water, no heat, no sun, So what we have, I think it's a really important science to bring the world through these crop circle studies. And the thing that I think people don't realize about crop circles is that they leave so much biophysical evidence that you really can't shake a stick at it and say they're all fake. And when you've got a stalk of wheat and you've got 100,000 of them bent in specific directions at specific angles, we have to look at where they bend. And if where they bend is all broken, then you know it was most likely a bunch of guys with boards and ropes, or guys and girls with boards and ropes, out having a good time and a few drinks. On the other hand, if you find these biophysical changes such as stretched nodes, elongated nodes, and bubbles that have a burn hole where the steam had to escape, then you realize that this acreage of wheat or corn or barley was hit with some kind of major heat that boiled the liquid inside the stalk. And so we have to look at, what is a plant? A plant is actually cellulose, which is literally plastic. So when you boil water inside plastic, it's going to recalibrate itself and change its form. And that's what's happening in crop circles. And you can't fake that. You can't fake it on 100,000 stalks of wheat.
Yeah. Now this wheat, I know it's awesome that they could regenerate or recreate that the fields, the plasma fields. That was my question I was going to ask you, and you went and answered that. But I was thinking about that. We had a tree here right next to the house, or the place I stay in, and this ship came over and hovered, you know, right over the house here. And that tree, it was very close to the tree. The next year, that tree, the leaves were probably, I would say, not being exaggerating, 10 times bigger.
Yes.
I mean, it looked like a tropical tree, and it was a quaking aspen, which has pretty small leaves on it, and they were bigger than cottonwood leaves. I mean, they were massive. And and I actually picked some, and I went and we did a show with it, and I said, look, here's a normal aspen leaf. Look at this one. And so it shows that they can, you know, definitely, you know, create incredible growth and things of that nature, that somehow the fields, the magnetic fields off the ships do that. And I was just, that's exactly what I was thinking. Well, why not apply that to farming? You know, we can get rid of Monsanto and use these other friendly, clean technologies to take care of the problems, the world problems, and grow healthy food without having to irradiate it and send out dead processed food around the planet.
Amen. Well, again, that's another reason why the science is going to be very important to bring back. And they did do a lot of research on UFO finding sites as well. They actually had a piece of the Roswell ship that they worked on in the lab. Penny talks about that in the Levin Good story. But she really talked a lot repeatedly about UFO landing sites and crop circles having the same effect on plants and seeds, like you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And she said there was this UFO landing site, and when they cut down the forest of the trees wrapped around it, they found that the rings of the trees had grown a half an inch more per ring than the trees that were outside the area of the landing site, the same trees, same age. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah, that came through with some of the other experiences that people have had, contacts and things, the trees. The, you know, you've got to see, take a moment, go to esetiaustralia.org and look at the documentary if you have time. But we went to a place called Westall, and it's the school where all the kids were there, and the UFOs came down, and the kids all ran after them, and the teacher saw them and everything. It's really well documented. Well, where this UFO landed, all the trees are bending inward.
Right.
Around the circle. And they actually built a playground there with a UFO in it and everything, and fully documented the event, and rather than cover it all up like we do here in the States. But it was kind of amazing. But I went there after working with Brendan Murray, who is the king of the Raven tribe, Ulukai Brendan Murray. And we had an initiation while we were there, and something with the place and the energy. We were feeling the energy, and all of a sudden just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ravens came out of nowhere and circled us and landed in the trees. It was like wall-to-wall ravens everywhere. And we asked locals there, have you ever seen anything like this? They said, no, where'd they all come from? You know, it was like, you know, it was pretty amazing. But we got it all on film, too. So, awesome. Yeah, I think you ought to check that out. Just that one scene, if anything, where the ravens come is just amazing.
That's beautiful. Well, I also want to invite people to my website to check out gorgeous photos of crop circles. I actually have 7 movies now with women of today, and very soon 8. And then when I'm done, there will be 9. But my website is pattygreer.net, PattyGreer.net. You can stream the movies for the week, or you can send your DVDs and write you a nice thank you note. But I think that it's never been a more important time for honest film to get out and for people to stop being misled by all of this highly budgeted BS Hollywood fear porn about ufology. Yeah. It is not scary. It is not something that's here to destroy the planet, or we'd be gone long ago.
Oh, I agree 100%. It's like, you know, if it wasn't for the benevolent ETs watching over us and intervening quite a bit, even with the sun, and some of the kill shots from the sun, they've actually blocked those. And they've done so much on our behalf to keep this civilization together and going. But sometimes I go, well, maybe you should just step back and let it crash and start over, because it is such a mess. I'm not sure how fixable it is, but I know it is going to be fixed. But, you know, all these films coming out, like your film and all these other films about, you know, the medical industry and the cancer industry and all these things that are coming out right now, it's there needs to be some kind of a supportive venue for that, you know, like, because they're even censored in a lot of the film festivals now.
Yeah, no, I don't even try with the major ones, because I know they're not up for UFO movies. And I know that a lot of the distributors are intentionally putting BS out and hiding the good stuff, such as what I've been tolerating. So yeah. I want to talk about one more amazing fact that blew my mind, which was that Levengood actually had pieces of crop circles that were really stiff leaves that came into the lab from crop circles. And I think it was in New Jersey. Who knew a crop circle in New Jersey? But he got in some wheat samples. I don't think it was England. But the wheat tops that were wrapped around the seeds were thick and stiff. And he peeled it off. And whatever it turned out to be some kind of metal. It actually replicated the pattern of the leaf. So that said to them that whatever it was, it hit the leaf while it was molten and then, you know, solidified on the leaf. Well, it turns out it was iron ore. Uh-huh. Iron ore has to be 1,200 degrees or more to be molten. What was 1,200 degree iron ore doing floating through the air in the middle of the night in a wheat field, and it didn't burn it down? This is happening in crop circles. And the punchline is, you can't fake this stuff.
No, yeah.
The interesting punchline of my new movie, which I think is the punchline of the new science that we're about to really be stepping into, she says that when we can learn to measure and manipulate plasma, we're going to move forward as a species. Mm-hmm. And the last era of human evolution was based around fossil fuels. Well, the new one that we are moving into now is going to be based around plasma physics.
Yeah, this I agree.
This is the new science. It is the free energy. It is the buzzword, like Nangalese, that, you know, mm-hmm. they don't want getting out, but it is about freeing all humanity and the planet. And the only way we're going to do it is to wake up our neighbors, run the risk, tell them the truth, and wait for the fallout to go away.
Yeah.
Until sober up again to say, oh my God, you weren't a conspiracy theorist? You mean you really knew what you were talking about all these years? Yeah.
Well, you know, the plasma technology, that would put an end to world hunger. That would put an end to disease, basically. And you know, we'd have all the, you know, take care of all of our energy needs, too, because that science, when applied, and it's already being applied, we just don't know about it in the secret space programs. But, you know, they can regenerate anything, regenerate your arms, regenerate, you know, they have replicators to make food. They can just generate protein out of the air, you know, out of the ether. So all those things are available now. They're actually on the planet. We have that technology. We just need to let it, you know, bring it out and have people come forward with it.
Yep. Well, lucky us that we get to dabble and play in these fields and, you know, not be a part of the lamestream media and all the confusion, but rather just to stay steadfast and keep learning these amazing things about the multi-worlds that we live in. And there is so much more than meets the eye. I just feel really blessed to be doing this work, even though I haven't made money for years. It's been extremely expensive. I still look at all these little hackings and stuff as so unimportant compared to the big picture, which is bringing everybody around. So I am staying steadfast. I'm honored and delighted to be invited to speak at the ranch, and really look forward to that on the 4th of July weekend, and also bringing my brand new movie that we've been talking about, Crop Circle Diaries, and sharing that with your crowd.
Yeah, I think it's going to be amazing. You know, bring your camera too, because I think we're going to have some amazing speakers here. A lot of women here that I think you'd love interviewing. There's the imp in me is coming out right now. I just had to tell you. You know, do you know why New Yorkers are so depressed?
Why?
Because the light at the end of the tunnel is New Jersey. But I couldn't resist that when you're talking about New Jersey. But anyway, we're coming up to the end of the hour. So what is the best way for people, again, to get a hold of you to find out more about your work?
www.pattygreer.net. Pattygreer.net.
Great. And I'm looking forward to seeing your new movies and seeing you here on the July 4th weekend, and probably seeing you sooner than that at the conference in Joshua Tree.
That's right. I'm doing a lecture and a workshop and a world premiere of Crop Circle Diaries. And I will also be most likely done with the William Levengood story and have that there. And they can just break the ice with that, because we've really been dabbling in a whole lot of false information. And I love it that we're on the precipice of all this change. And, you know, I think you and I have been certainly tested to the max. If I was going to quit, I would have quit a long time ago. And, you know, I've already seen so much loss of all these things that used to mean everything to me, that now all I care about is seeing us save humanity. So I'm delighted to be a part of this movement. And I encourage everyone to step in, to get really aware of what's going on, and to not waste a day, and to stop buying into those products. Do not go to the places that are supporting those venues of poisoning the food, poisoning the water, and being all confused about what news is real. You got to get your discernment buttons working and really get with the right people, the right information, and make a difference in the world. Don't just sit around liking things on Facebook, but actually get out and do something.
I agree. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so we've got to sign off, but I'm looking forward to hearing more about your work and seeing you in Joshua Tree. I'm going to drop some bombshells too about the real origin of man, and it's all written in stone as well. So it's going to be fun, and I can't wait to reconnect.
Amen. Love you, babe.
All right. Take care. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. And it's the end of the night. So watch your skies and stay in the heart and put your intention out there and see what happens. Because I'm going out to sky watch right now. And last time we were out there, we saw about 40 ships. So it's busy in the skies. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.
Good night. Hi.